Welcome to another edition of the Home Improvement Show, your chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, all of your most pressing questions, all your issues, your home renovation and repair requests. I'm Joanne Brackus, and as always, the two of us are here to take your calls, 514-790-0800, or you can text us at the same number. I do want to remind you guys, it's always easier to get on the line and to talk to Walter, because some of the texts that come in are you know, 2 to 3 paragraphs long. I think it's just better to call. Walter, how are you? I missed you.
We missed you too. It's been a while.
I asked how it was with that me, and he said, "Oh, she was great, Sue Smith, who we love." And I said, "I gave him." He said, "Don't worry, I'm not cheating on you." Thank you to Sue, by the way, for filling in. It was much needed. But you're having a good last two weeks. You said you're super busy because it's the season for you.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as we got a nice weather, it's like everybody said, you know, we're just talking about it. People think they're in denial. You know, like we're not gonna get a spring. Mm-hmm. We're not gonna get a summer. I mean, if you look at the temperature tonight, maybe they're right, but we got a whole bunch of calls, and it looks like it's gonna be a nice season,
a busy season for you. But Walter, you're always saying to people, don't leave it at the last minute, prepare. So
I mean, look, it's like anything, the good contractors mm-hmm. are gonna be gulped up very quickly.
Yeah,
I know you're gonna be left with some contractors out there, but if they're not in demand, you have to ask yourself lots of questions.
If they're readily available. Oh my goodness!
You know,
it's too good to be true.
It's a known fact, right? You go to a restaurant; it's empty all the time. You have to ask yourself questions.
Very, very, very true. Okay, we've got some calls coming in already. Johnny is on the line. Johnny, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Hi, take it away.
Okay, look. Good morning, guys. I'm looking at redoing my whole driveway, walkway, and steps with Pavioni. Mm-hmm. And I had quite a few contractors, big contractors, reputable contractors in the West Line come and take a look. And I'm putting pavers on top of existing concrete steps. And some of them want to use just a PL glue that they want to glue the riser and the step. And others want to use a concrete mortar, cement mortar mixture to glue them on. Now, with all the tying the water and the freezing, what do you think would be the better method to go with to avoid these things from popping off during the winter eventually, the PL glue or the cement? Of course, each other one says their method is better than the others.
So there's a couple of things when you are adding concrete on cement. I want you to also look at that, because sometimes it is an afterthought. I want to start by talking about the difference in the heights of the steps, because these pavers are pretty thick usually. So there will be a difference in the height of the steps. Have you taken that in consideration?
Yes, I have. Knowing that also the riser is going to be, of course, the step is going to be thicker and the riser will have to accommodate that. So everything's going to go up by about whatever it is, an inch, inch and a half.
Okay. And how high is your step going to be?
Well, I would assume it's going to be the same distance, because once you put the step, then the riser is going to be a little bit shorter than the existing end, but the next step on top of it isn't going to compensate for that.
What's important is that
whatever it is, 8 inches or to a
yeah. What's important is that we don't pass the 8-inch height factor.
Yeah.
And what is also important is when you're going to get to the concrete landing and you're going to install the pavers on top. Another very common mistake that is done in this case is that they install the pavers sometimes even a bit higher than the front door or just flush with it.
Well, I got plenty of room between the sill of my front door that you can easily slide a thick paver underneath.
That is perfect. So as long as that is clarified. Now, both could really work. PL glue, if it can work on concrete as long as the surface is nice and smooth and you don't have anything crumbling. If you find that the status of your concrete is not in great shape, then I would go with mortar. I would actually put cement, because the cement itself, you'll scrape the loose surface and the cement itself will kind of even things out. And then you can put it, and you will have, if you want, a more rigid gluing between the two products.
Right. The step they already have that, what is it, that parging on it that flakes off eventually with time. So they'll have to chip off all that parging, I guess, first.
Correct. What you want is, I mean, there's a couple of things. You want to do that, but you also want to ensure that they're using the proper cement glue in order to make both of the products adhere to each other. Because what you have is a couple of things. You need the concrete, the new concrete, to adhere to the old concrete, and you need it to also adhere to the pavers. And that's where, you know, they have to have some skill. PL glue, the only good thing with PL glue that if anything pops out, it's easy to fix it back. Mm-hmm. With concrete, it might be a bit more complicated because you would have to chisel the concrete from the paver itself, and then you have to chisel the concrete from the step itself. So if I were you, Johnny, I would start with the PL because it's a much easier fix than the concrete.
Okay, for the whole set of, let's say, 5-6 steps, paver, riser, and step.
Correct. What is more important in this whole thing, believe it or not, is what they're going to be doing at the edging of the stairs. Okay? So the edging of the stairs, because you don't want the pavers to move. Whatever they do there, if they do a good job, okay, to keep it in place, then anything else does not really matter. Okay. As far as the product is concerned.
Thank you for that call, Johnny. Hope that helped you out.
Thank you.
All right. Lewis is sending in a text here. It says, morning, I have a 25-year-old hot water tank that hasn't been used in 5 years. I want to remove it. New tank will be installed in autumn. Do I just cap the hot and cold water lines until then? Is there anything else I should or need to do? That is from Luigi.
I mean, capping it would be one if you're not installing one right away. That's fine. 25 years old, I'm actually surprised it lasted that long. It's impressive.
Okay. But it's not dangerous or anything.
I mean, it is in the sense that they corrode, they rust, and then they could leak. For sure, it's dangerous. So taking it out is super important for sure. And if you're not going to put it for a while, you could cap it. If you're changing it within a few days, just shut off the water and change it. You don't have to go throughout the whole hassle of doing it.
514-790-0800. That is to call us or to text us. I'm going to get to a quick text before we get to another call. This is says, good morning. Looking for an excellent architectural shingle that can withstand the upcoming weird weather patterns. We were just talking about that off the air. You once mentioned, I believe, GAF. HDZ, but this is only sold at Home Depot, but they always have seemed to have low stock. Can you recommend a similar or better shingle and where to buy? Does Roof Mart or Canada made for Canadian, anything from Canada weather shingles, anything Canadian from Dom?
Thank you for the patriotic question. Mm-hmm. I want to say. So I can tell you I'm going to have to do my research on the origin of these shingles, but I can tell you like ICO, or Cambridge, the 50-year shingle, specifically the 50-year, because they do, every brand comes with different, even BP, they have different grades. What you want to do, and especially in areas where we know they're problematic and you know, you have a lot of snow accumulation, like if you're up north or anything like that, you want to go with a minimum 50-year shingle. These are made to be a lot more solid. They are much better to face a deterioration and everything else. But please bear in mind, the installation is equally important. Mm. So a good install, you could have the best shingle on the planet. But if the installer is no good,
what are we looking for again? Okay, so if they're not busy, that's a problem as well?
No, I mean, you know, what I do with roofs... and that's a good habit maybe for everyone that is listening. I hire a roofing inspector to supervise my roofers.
Like a project manager, but specific to roofing?
The guy only does that. He doesn't even do roofs. See, the guy was, typically these are very old like roofers that have been doing this for God knows how many years, 3-4 generations in their family. I mean, the ones that I know at least. Mm-hmm. And I think they were born with a shingle in their mouth. And they have this like, you know.
A new expression I just learned.
what they do is they can come, I mean, you could decide when you want them to come and do the inspections? Because let's be honest, how many of us go up to the roof and look at what these people are doing?
I don't. I think most people are afraid to go up to the roof.
Exactly. And even if you do, you're not going to, if it's in July and it's like 50 degrees, you're not going to go up, stay there the whole day with them. Mm. So one way of getting that supervised, because it's such an important component of your home.
Expensive.
It's expensive. It's important. It's a roof. It's a roof over your head, literally. you would hire a roofing inspector, and that inspector will. You could choose. You know, certain days that they come, certain times, or milestones. You say, mm-hmm. Okay, after they demolish, I want you to come. When they install the eye shield membrane, I want you to come. When they start installing the shingle, I want you to come. And at the end, I want you to come to see the flashings and the caulking and everything else. Or you could even opt to having him there the whole day.
Yeah, I think probably the less costly one would be at these key moments. But again, a great idea to have that roof inspector. Yeah. We want to remind everyone, 514-790-0800, continue. We've got some calls coming in. We'll get to those in just a bit, and more texts.
So having said that, yeah. Cambridge 50-year, ICO 50-year, Roof Mart is a great place to start because they have a lot more choices. But I will do a little bit. I'm going to actually reach out to my roofer or my roofing supplier, even better. I'm going to tell you which Canadian ones that we want to talk about and promote.
Dom, we've got you covered on that. Thanks for that text message. Keep those questions coming in, by the way. This is the Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to another edition of the Home Improvement Show, where Walter Assey, president of Renovco, a proudly Canadian company, continues to take your calls and answer your questions for your home improvement needs. 514-790-0800. That is the best way to reach us, by text or by call. Call is always best. Who do we have waiting on the line? Teresa. Yes.
Teresa, yeah. We just want to go back to what I promised the previous caller. I think it was
Dominic, I think.
Dom. Cambridge is a Canadian company.
For the shingles.
Owned and operated. I tell you, my heart palpitates to Canadian companies now. So I felt it, I sensed it, and I said it.
There's no going back for Walter. It's done.
So yeah, you can definitely go with that. It's a great, great, great shingle.
Okay, Teresa has been waiting on the line, and Teresa has a question.
Hi,
Teresa, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Take it away.
Okay, I have a Navien condensing water heater, and it's been installed. I bought the house 3 years ago, so it's my third year, and it's been installed about seven years ago, and I had a generator put in, and after the generator got put in, the water heater stopped. It's intermittent, so it works, and then it stops, so I reboot it, and it works again. Now, I've looked at my manual, and it's telling me to clean the inlet water filter, check the water adjustment valve. I don't know anything about this. I've tried to find a Navien authorized person to come and look at it. Do you have a recommendation?
I mean, you don't necessarily need an Navien rep. You need would be a plumber that is comfortable with tankless hot water tanks.
Okay. Do you know of any?
I do. I mean, I can refer you a couple off air that you could call, and they can come and they could do some adjustments, and usually you're good to go with that. Tankless hot water tanks. Let me ask you while I have you a couple of seconds on the phone. Is it electrical or is it backed by propane?
Yeah, it's propane.
Propane. And how many people are you in the home?
One.
So I guess you're not having any issues getting enough hot water.
No, it's beautiful. I like the whole concept. It's perfect because it's only me, and it works well when it works, of course.
Got it.
And it only seems to be, it turns off when it works. You know, in the kitchen, which is close to the unit, the bathroom. So when I'm in the shower is when it turns off, which is annoying.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah.
So I will send you a couple of plumbers your way. Let them come and check out the system for you. And usually it's just a question of an adjustment somewhere.
Yeah, and do you know, I know I heard you talk, that's why I'm calling, I heard you talk about this to about a lady that was interested in getting one, and you answered her questions about, you know, they're good if there's not a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Do you know of any Canadian companies that sell these units? Because this is from, I don't know, Illinois or somewhere like that.
Oh,
I want to support Canada all the way.
Walter's awesome. Eyes are twinkling.
I love it. I love it.
Now you put
we
a smile
to.
On my face.
Well,
I will definitely. I have actually someone in my team that is Googling this as we speak.
Awesome.
They're gonna look into it, and I'm gonna put it on the air again. I don't have it offhand.
Okay,
but yeah, I mean, the tankless hot water tanks are great if they have gas or propane. But usually with electric, if you are more than 2-3 in the home, it becomes problematic as far as supplying enough hot water. That's the only issue with them.
Well, I can imagine that as it's running through the unit, you know. Okay. I also have another question. When I moved into this house, the pipes froze. So I figured out where it was freezing. So I put a hair dryer. I defrosted it, and it's on the back side of my house.
Okay.
And what I did this winter, for just to test it out. Last year was no problem because it didn't get cold enough. But this year it was cold enough, and I made pillows of fiberglass, and then I put a vapor barrier, and I put them along the back of my house, and it seemed to work. So my question is, now I've gotten a quote to build like a box and put proper insulation along the back of my house. And I have board and batten thing, like a real wood.
Mm-hmm.
Now, should the box be from closed at the bottom, or does it need circulation? How, you know, it's trial, and I'm going to.
What do you mean by building a box? Let me start.
Well, it's okay. The back under, say, my kitchen sink, not my kitchen sink, under the stove, there's a window, and about 4 feet along the back of the house is where the pipe comes from the well.
Okay.
So 4 feet high. So somewhere there it freezes, not at the bottom, because I think it's deep enough. And the box, I mean, is just something to hold the insulation.
Okay. So, I mean, look, one of the tricks that actually would work beside what you're doing, I mean, the box, I would have to see visually what you're talking about. But I can give you a couple of easy tricks that will also help in your endeavor. So if you get a plumbing sleeve, the insulation sleeve, and you install it around the pipe, usually that have one opening, so one side that opens that you can actually fit the pipe through it. But the trick with it is you put the closed part of the pipe, you put it facing the outside, and then the opening facing the warm side of the home. So what we want, we want the actual cold hot air or warmth to kind of circulate from there, and then keep that pipe warm.
Right.
And we're gonna kind of it's like, imagine you wearing a coat and then, you know, opening a zipper, but you are facing a fireplace.
Right. Yeah.
So from the back you're cold, but from the front you're warm. That's pretty much what you would want to do. That actually works very well.
But I can't see the pipe. I'd have to break walls.
And you know. Let me put it for you this way. If you know it's a chronic problem, maybe it is not a bad idea to actually get in there and do something a bit more intrusive and do it right because that could create you one heck of a damage.
Okay, Teresa, I hope that helped you out.
Great.
All right. Thank you so much.
Can I wait to get the recommendations, or how does it work?
I think he'll look it up. I think Walter will look it up.
Jimmy will take her number.
Yes.
And,
okay.
I will text you the recommendations.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, Teresa. I hope that helped. Tom is on the line. We're not going to Tom right away. We're going to come to him in a few minutes because we have to take a teeny tiny break. But a reminder, 514-790-0800. That is the number to reach us either by text or by phone. This is the Home Improvement Show. Oh, we love to talk about all sorts of things here on the Home Improvement Show. Your chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, your questions when it comes to home improvement, home repair. Let's see who's been waiting on the line. Tom has been waiting on the line quite patiently. Tom, can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yes. Take it away, Tom.
So thank you for taking my call. I am looking at changing out a approximately 20-year-old air conditioning system in a condo where the compressor is outside on the balcony below a window. And in looking at, in talking to industry professionals and looking at options, the single unit air conditioning type appliance doesn't exist anymore. And they're multi-zone air conditioning and heat pump unit. And where the original air conditioning compressor is below a window. And these new units, as I'm told, are required to be elevated off the ground or off the concrete deck of the balcony. And that would impede the opening of the window. So it would have to be reoriented. I guess my question is, can the heat pump and the air conditioning unit function, these new units function, if it is left on the concrete decking of the balcony?
And who have you talked to about that, Tom? I'm just curious.
Well, I've spoken to a couple of contractors to get a couple of quotes. And, you know, one said, you know, look, the best functioning of this system is to have it elevated. Because then you'll be able to use both the air conditioning and the heat pump capacities of the newer systems. And another one says, you know, look, you can leave it on the deck of the balcony. Just don't use the heat pump, you know, from about mid-December to the end of March, because it'll condensation will form outside. It'll freeze up and it'll ice up the machine and ruin it.
Okay. So one of the things you want to do, Tom, in your search is talk with them about the brands they're referring to, because each brand have a different instruction for installation, right? They could have very well been talking about certain brands that will get you to install that that unit this way. I do believe there are still brands that can cater to putting to having it on the ground with no issues whatsoever. So what I will do is I will encourage you to potentially, I can even maybe refer you to some companies that tend to deal, they're a bit more generous on the lines that they use. You have to understand, when you're calling ventilation companies, you are also calling the brand that they distribute. So always make sure to ask them that question. You know, and then some companies have more than one brand, so they have a bit more variety. I don't know if you can maybe reach out to this company called Comfort or True Comfort or something like that. I'm just going to look up their name. Because I know they have about two or three brands that they carry, so they might have a bit more choices to offer you, and that will take care of your problem.
Right. So I one of the contractors that did come and give me a quote. They deal simply with the Daikin models.
There you go.
And that was the one that required to be elevated.
Correct.
Because of the condensation issues created by the heat pump and the heated drain pan.
That is correct.
Yeah, so.
That is correct. So Daikin is, you're absolutely right. And that's one of the reasons. I don't know the other guy that you met, what brand was he talking about? But Daikin, for sure, you're absolutely right. That's how the guide of installations tell you to do it. But like I'm saying, there are other brands out there that will probably cater more to, you know, to your issue.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for that call, Tom. Let's see who else we have on the line. We have Suzanne is on the line, and she has a problem or an issue or question concerning condemning a 100-year-old fireplace. Did I get that right?
Yes, we would like, our house is 100 years old and we have the original fireplace and we have not been using since the city of Montreal has that new rule. Mm-hmm. The fireplace is on a mitoyen wall and we're thinking of getting electric high quality insert fireplace. Mm-hmm. And what do we do with the chimney? I know we have to cap it, but do we have to insulate it? How do we proceed?
You definitely would have to do something. So I mean, capping it from the top is a no-brainer. You just make sure to cap it. I mean, there's many things you could do with the chimney. Let me put it for you this way. You can simply just demolish it, eliminate it. You don't need it anymore because you're going electric. So that, if you know, might be a space saver for you, but it's a big job. So let's say that's not what we want to do. Then what you want to do is you want to cap the actual chimney from the top. You want to ensure that the bricks are in great shape, that they're not going to bring you any water infiltration in. So you mm-hmm. do all the brick repointing and change any rotted wood or deteriorated brick, I should say. Mm-hmm. From the inside, beside the insulation factor, you can buy what you call something we call the chimney balloon. So it's... Mm-hmm. It's the name, actually. So it kind of blows in to block the hole. Mm-hmm. So it's like a big pillow that gets blown, and it kind of shield the inside from, you know, whatever is in that chimney column.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things you could also do is make sure that someone sweeps it before, so you don't have any remnants of anything that's left behind, so it doesn't mm-hmm. kind of start falling down and creating dust and all kind of things. So you have it sweeped, you cap it, you put the chimney balloon, you know, you could add insulation if you want, just to be 100% sure that you're not going to get any downdraft or any cold air coming from there. And then you could just do your insert, even if you want, you could do your insert, the electric fireplace insert inside it, just maybe have to modify the opening for the new one to fit.
Okay. Now, the balloon you're talking about, is this something who they could keep there long-term,
yeah,
like 20,
yeah.
20 years?
It lasts as long as you have the house.
Oh, yeah?
Just don't poke at it.
So it's a plastic or a rubber?
It's a rubberized balloon, yeah. It's made to be heavy-duty, so it's not like the ones that you blow in the dollar store.
Yeah, it's not for a kid's birthday party.
No, so. No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but great. Thank you very much. Is there anything else I should know?
Not that I'm aware of. I mean, these are really the steps, and then off you go.
Thank Great. You for that call.
Thank you.
All right, 514-790-0800, the best way to reach Walter. Deanna is doing a follow-up question, or having a follow-up question, I think. Before, when you mentioned the roofing inspector, we had a caller asking about new roofs, new shingles, and you suggested that it's good to have a roofing inspector.
Mm-hmm.
Deanna wants to know, where do you find that? Do they have like an association? What are we looking for?
I mean, there are many companies that do that, actually. It's you can even Google them.
But it's not like obviously they should be independent from the roofers.
Yeah, if they do roofs, the way I like it is if they do roofs, I wouldn't actually hire them.
Yeah.
Because in case you have issues, when you have someone that have no horse or no skin in the game, then they are more objective.
Okay. But there's no like association per se. You just have to Google it and look it up and see.
Correct.
And
correct.
You said they're usually retired roofers themselves.
I mean, I'm saying that they could be not retired roofers, but I mean, mostly when you find them, that's what they have done for a living. Yeah.
All right. 514-790-0800. Your best way to reach Walter Assey from Renovco, president of Renovco. If you don't have a chance to reach Walter today, because we do air at different times in different cities, Walter, you want to remind everyone about your Ask Walter button?
So, and it's been doing great. Ask Walter button. You just go to my website. You ask Walter if Walter has the time to go. And we're getting a lot. So I'm trying to as much as I can answer you. And if I don't answer you, please, you can ask me again.
The man never sleeps.
And you can always call the show and say, you know, I did this, and we will try to get Jimmy to prioritize your call and, you know, to get you through. But ask Walter. It's like right there as soon as you go to runoff.com.
Yeah, in case you can't get through again. 514-790-0800. Yes?
One other thing I'd like to say. I know there's a lot of people waiting, so I'm going to try to be quick. I know some of you have been reaching out as well, which is great. I love it. About their Canadian companies.
For us to promote them, highlight them.
That's right. Yeah. So there's a gentleman that actually reached out to me. The company name is Florco.
Mm-hmm.
F-L-E-U-R-C-O. I beg your pardon. I'm sorry if I actually spelled this wrong. But I think that's how it's spelled. They do shower doors and shower panels, and they're fully Canadian, and they're very proud of it.
And so we love that. And
That's right. So reach out to me if you are a Canadian manufacturer. I would love to make you famous as much as I can with my limited resources.
Yes.
But also, you know, if you send me a picture of your company with a Canadian flag, I will prioritize it, I swear, I promise. As soon as I see the flag in there, it's going
to
happen.
There's an eternal twinkle in his eye when this man speaks of Canada, as it should be for all of us. You're listening to The Home Improvement Show. Welcome back to the Home Improvement Show, your chance to ask Walter Assey, president of Renovco, your questions when it comes to your home improvement needs. Lots of calls coming in. We'll try to get to them as many as possible because there's not a lot of the show left. I think Bob has been waiting on the line the longest. Bob, can you hear us?
I can hear you. Good morning, Walter. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure, Bob.
Okay, so I bought a house that was built in 1954, mm-hmm. and the basement was only half dug out. So I decided to venture into digging out the other half of the basement, which they did by hand, about 1,200 square feet. We went below the footing, so we had to pour a cement wall against the footing. And the original contractor told me to put blueskin against that wall. I now have a new contractor who tells me that the blueskin, which is applied with the tar against the brick wall, only serves to hold the water against the cement, which could eventually rot. So they've asked me to take off the blueskin and put in a delta. Is that the right procedure? Because I've now built a French drain on the inside in my basement because I couldn't build a French drain on the outside. So my question is it the right procedure to put in the delta so that it lets the water flow into the French drain?
So, Bob, the good news and the bad news that both of your contractors are wrong.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
It's actually a mix of the two. So you do need to have some type of waterproofing membrane on the concrete. Whether it's the blue skin, whether even if you are applying elastomeric membrane or tar or anything like that. And then after that is done, that's when you're going to install your delta membrane. Because what's great about the delta membrane, it does not really stop the water coming in from the top or from if it goes through the membrane itself, the water will find its way in. But because it's corrugated, when the water hits it, it kind of just allows it to channel down. So it's like it have, if you want, it looks like an egg carton type membrane and have all these like openings that will allow the water to flow down all the way to the footing. Having said that, you should always double up. So you do that, you membrane the concrete foundation, and then you install the delta membrane. The trick with the delta membrane is how they're going to screw it from the top. That's where they actually make most of their mistakes, the contractors, while they're installing it. They leave a lot of openings. So just make sure to survey the top, how they're going to cap, because a lot of water can come through from the top, and that will not save you, because if a lot of water is coming and you have a crack, the water will find itself in. But that's okay. Another reason why you need both membranes. So you have to make it as dummy-proof as possible.
So it doesn't matter that the water remains inside the blue skin on the cement. It really doesn't matter. We still have to waterproof that cement either by tar or blue skin and then apply the delta thereafter.
Voila. You got it.
Okay, thank you very much.
So now you can go and correct both your contractors.
Thanks.
Thank you.
For the call, Bob. We've got time for one more, I think. Diane is on the line. Diane has a question about framing for your unfinished basement. Did I get that right, Diane?
Oh, yes. So happy you took my call. Thank you. I have a question. I have an unfinished basement and the framing. I'm part of a Facebook group where a lot of people are saying put non-treated is okay. Some people say put treated. And I know they live in different parts of the world where their code is different. So I'm curious to know, what is code for Quebec? Is it, do we have to put treated for the bottom part of the wood? I don't know what the real term is, but that's what my question is. Non-treated or treated?
You don't need to have anything treated. As a matter of fact, some of the treated ones are not good for the inside. So I would stay away from that because they could have certain toxicity in them. So what you could do if you want, and if you're worried about flooding and rotting and mold and everything else, you could buy the untreated and you can treat it yourself. So you get a liquid membrane and you could just, we call it the blue 2x4, and you just paint it if you want, or roll the membrane on it, and that makes it impermeable to water and rot and everything else. But the code is very simple. Untreated is fine. 2x4s, typically untreated, can withstand water for a while. So it's not like if you have a bit of water that comes on them, they're going to rot instantaneously, as long as you, of course, do the drying and everything else. They can last a long time. But if you absolutely want to treat them, and what you could do is you could partially treat the membrane, maybe the bottom plate, and maybe the first two couple of feet of the 2x4, because that's where the water mostly would affect. That's also possible.
Perfect. And so this thing, it's a liquid form?
Yeah, it's in liquid form. It's easy to you could do even do it yourself. It's easy to apply. And you can also apply it strategically. You don't have to do it everywhere that you figure the water is not going to be coming, or because of the height factor or anything like that.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Thank you very much.
Always a pleasure, Diane.
Best of luck. Yes, and thank you for that call. It's about done for us. I see that there's a lot of calls. Remember, it's the Ask Walter button, right? Remind everyone on your website.
Yeah, go to the Ask Walter button. I'll try to get to all of you, I promise.
And again, we're trying to highlight the best of Canadian companies as well. That does it for the Home Improvement Show. Thank you, Walter.
Always a pleasure.
All right, we'll chat again next week.